What's up, guys? My name's Patrick. I'm an alcoholic. My sober date is January 24, 2019. I got a sponsor. I sponsor dudes, all that good stuff. So I got sober at 45, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, I got like 45 years of wreckage to try to cram into 10 minutes. That sounds kind of impossible. So I figured I would just kind of focus on like one concept, like one action that I took in this program, a huge action that really like freed me of a lot of a huge burden that I'd been carrying my whole life. So I'm gonna go way back to the beginning. I'm from a small town in Virginia. So I lived with my parents, and I had three older brothers and an older sister. So I'm the baby. So my father was an alcoholic, an awful alcoholic. But I could always relate to, like, when I came to this program, the not fitting in part. I heard someone at a speaker meeting Sunday night say that he felt like he was absent from class the day they gave out the manual on how to live life. And I was like, wow, that's like a very good way of stating that, and I could totally identify with that. So I never felt like I fit in. So highly dysfunctional family. My father, when I was, I don't know, before school, he had a lung surgery. He had lung cancer and had a lung removed. So he was a mess. Oddly enough, I was just thinking, and it was the first time I thought about it in a long time. I remember when I was really little, sitting on his lap, and he had attempted to quit drinking. And I remember telling him, I was like, I like you so much more when you're not drinking. That didn't last very long. Because really, all I remember of my father is he would sit in the living room at the table. He had a little radio. He'd listen to the news and stuff. He'd have a handle of old granddad whiskey. He had Canada Dry ginger ale. Couldn't be Schweppes. He'd freak the fuck out. And being a cancer patient, now looking back on it, I assume he had some pretty good narcotics also. So he was lit half the time. There was a lot of violence in the household, a lot of cussing. Mom had black eyes some of the time, police called to the house. So because of stuff like that, and then, you know, I got two older brothers. They were always in trouble. They had like they were always on like juvie probation or some PO officer coming over. So, like, my friends never came to my house to hang out, you know? My last name's Rose. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Grateful Dead, but there's a song. It's like, I don't know. It must have been the Roses. That's what everybody said around the neighborhood if something went wrong. So there's that. So anyways, I totally didn't fit in. So it's kind of messed up because, like, as a child, you know, I heard my older brothers and sisters talking, and, you know, it was kind of expected that my father was gonna die. And, like, in my head, that was like a good thing, because once he's out of the picture, it'll just be us and mom, who's straight. And when I was 10 years old on Christmas Eve, my mom had a heart attack and died. So that crushed me. Like, that's, like, that pain I felt, like the cry, I cried and cried and cried. Like, it was so painful. And then, you know, it didn't take long after that. My father died about a year and a half later. I ended up in foster care. And, you know, I'm an orphan. You know, I'm in middle school and high school, and I'm a fucking orphan. It's like, how many orphans do you know? So, and around Christmas time, you know, I could play it off to a certain degree, but at Christmas time it was really hard because people start asking you personal questions, and it's always like a drag. It comes to the, yeah, my parents are dead, da da da, and then, you know, you just kind of walk off like feeling empty. Anyway, so that was like my life. So Christmas was like an awful time for me. Couldn't stand Christmas. Even when I became, you know, I got older, and it wasn't as big a deal. I didn't have to explain to my parents and what I was doing for the holidays and this and that and this and that. I still had that feeling every time. I dated this girl for like 9 years, toxic relationship. But anyway, she knew me really well, and she said that, like basically the day after November 1st, when they started playing Christmas carols and you started seeing stuff on TV for the holidays, like she would notice like a shift in my personality, and it would slowly get worse and worse leading up to Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day, like I would be so like relieved. I was like, yes, it's Christmas Day. And looking back on it, like I always loved the party. Like Christmas Day to Christmas Eve was like my time. Like those were like good times to party. And it kind of makes sense looking back on it. So anyways, January 24, 2019, pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization. I come limping into this program willing to do what I wasn't willing to do before. And I get through, like, you know, my first Christmas season comes up. And I remember it's Christmas Eve, man, and I had the whole day off, and I was so unbelievably uncomfortable, man. Like, I did what I always did. I started doing, like, push-ups. I went and rode. I didn't have a car at the time. I had a beach cruiser. I went and rode my beach cruiser, like 10 miles, and that wasn't enough. I went to, like, thank God it was, like, three meetings. I went up to 33:33, hit the 5:45. There was a 7 o'clock. I hit the 8:15. I still didn't feel good, but by that time I was so damn tired I could fall asleep, and I woke up, and it was Christmas. And I just, you know, that was one of those days that just not drinking was enough. Like, that was enough. Just no matter what, don't drink. And that's what got me through that day. So my second year of recovery, I'm coming up on the Christmas season. I don't know how I'm gonna feel, you know. I don't know. And, you know, I start to see the Christmas stuff and I start to feel funny. And I think about this program, I was like, this is an action program. Like, I'm sick of feeling this way. I don't have to feel this way anymore. And I rented a car, and I was going to drive up to my parents' grave and deal with this shit. That's what I did. I rented a car, I got a room, went up to Virginia all by myself. I went and walked the streets, like, you know, when you're a kid, you walk around and you can, like, know the cracks in the sidewalks and all that stuff. I wanted to get myself back into that, like, 10-year-old head of mine. Went and fucked around on the baseball field I used to play Little League ball at. Went out. Luckily, they have, like, the Skyline Drive, the parkway up there. You can see the valley. Got all spiritual, and I went out there, man. And I didn't say this before, I kind of left this out, but the night before my mom died, I must have been turned up on, like, candy canes and Hershey Kisses. And it was, like, time to go to bed, and I threw a fit, and I did the I don't love you and all this stuff, and the next morning she was dead. So I've been carrying that with me the whole time, too. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I went up there, man. And, like, I talked to my mom, and I cried, just like I cried that freaking day when I was 10 years old. And I talked to my father, and I left him a chip up there, and I told him I was going to be all right. I found the solution, man. And, you know, this year, the third year Christmas, man, I didn't have any weird feelings. Like, it was amazing. Like, I'm freaking free. It's all because of this program, man. This program told me to take a freaking action, man. And I don't have to live in fear. And there is a solution. Get into the solution, man. And it's all because of this program. Anyway, that's all I got. I hope that maybe touches somebody. We're good?